Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Monday, it's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench, everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake.
It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 Central on CBS.
The following is an exclusive presentation of the Carolina Panthers and the National Football League.
Yeah! Touchdown! Panther!
Panther Talk! Panther Talk! Panther Talk! This is Panther Talk on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Here comes Bumble. Raj at the sack, and the ball is loose. Carolina recover, and it's a touchdown! Yes! And the Panthers have done it!
Every busted through at the 30, 35, 40. Quick race down the right side. Here he goes in the 50. A swipe of the ankles. They can't get him. Touchdown, Christian McCaffrey.
We have the makings of what could be a good football team if we do things the right way. We've got a long way to go still. We've got two more preseason games to sharpen up and hone our skills and correct a lot of the mistakes we made. So I think our guys have a chance to ascend, and we'll see what happens.
And now, along with Jim Soke and Eugene Robinson, here's Mick Mixon with Panther Talk, live from the Panthers broadcast facility at Bank of America Stadium.
Preseason football. It's kind of like going to see Mr. Know-It-All, or maybe even Rocky talking to Bullwinkle. Hey, Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of a hat.
Without my sleeve.
That trick never works. Ruffle in my sleeve.
This time for sure.
Presto.
I got to get a new hat.
Every time it's kind of a new hat, or you never know what you're going to pull out of the hat. It's fascinating because we're trying to see the unknowable and know the unseeable. But after two games, eight quarters of Carolina Panther football, how good a football team do you feel like the Panthers are right now?
Wow. Let me go ahead and take this. I think from what we saw the second game, I thought the offense was so much more crisp, and I thought the defense really made a statement. Having their backs against the wall a number of times and only yielding 3 points each time, that bodes well for you going forward. You win with defense, and you win with offense, but your defense has to be one of the catalysts to set the tone, and our offense was responding by what defense was doing. I look at that game, and that game really kind of changes your opinion going, hey, we're going to be really good. And it could be exciting. And I heard as the trailer, as we were doing a tease here, Coach Rivera, he said, if you do things the right way, we can be a very, very good ball team. I agree with him.
And, you know, so much has been made of the fact that there are all these passing game options and weapons to pick from, but then they run for 226 yards, which is a big component of this offense, is that physicality of being able to run the ball, a lot of it between the tackles, like that Christian McCaffrey 71-yard run came between the tackles, so there's that. And then Coach talked the week before, and we all saw it on third down, the struggles there. They held Miami in this game to 2 out of 12.
Wow.
On third down. The Panthers were 6 out of 12 on third down, so in both categories they improved at third down offensively and defensively, but when you can control the clock, run the ball like that, that's going to open up the passing game, and it all works.
Broadcast Roundtable brought to you by Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance. So I need you guys to help me out with this because I think I might be losing my mind. I'm on a talk show this afternoon, and the host played a cut from Christian McCaffrey after the game and then said, Mick, it looks like Christian McCaffrey doesn't have a lot of tolerance for people who think he's going to be a bust or who don't think he's very good. And I said, who might that be?
Who might that be?
Is there anyone who knows anything about football that doesn't see what's obviously true, and that is that this guy is a star, he's a worker,
Does that qualify as a teammate?
Oh, my goodness. And a matchup nightmare for NFL defenses.
Didn't he have 80 receptions last year? I mean, yeah. This guy has been an absolute beast. You better read the scouting report. This dude ran 71 yards, and all the defensive backs who happened to be chasing this guy were saying, can he be running that fast? Well, yes, he runs that fast. He's that quick. You better read the scouting report because he is indeed a beast. He is a nightmare matchup. You can't put a linebacker on him. He's going to eat him alive in the passing game. He can run between the tackles. He can do the screen game. You can see that Cam Newton, who's playing exceptionally well, he's throwing the ball and distributing the ball across the field. Now you got matchup problems on there, and then you hand the ball off to McCaffrey. I'm telling you, you better watch out. McCaffrey is the real deal, and whoever the talk show person you're on, if you don't know it by now, then you've been asleep. You've Rip Van Winkle, and you've been asleep for 20 years.
Name them. Who was it?
I don't know who it was.
But I want to know what show this is.
Another friend of mine today, I was talking to him.
Okay,
well,
there you go.
If you take away the 71-yard run, and I went, if you take away Celine Dion's singing voice, she's just another 100-pound female. I mean, that run would have been a 300-yard run if the field had been long enough.
Yeah. My goodness.
And that's just one component of the offense. He doesn't have to do that every week. There's so many other choices in the offense that he doesn't have to do that. It's great that he can, and I think he will be probably out of all the offensive weapons the one they feature most often. But if there's a particular week where they're just gearing up, we're going to stop Christian McCaffrey, it'll be Greg Olsen's day, or it'll be Devin Funch's day, or it'll be DJ Moore's day. So there's going to be other options out there.
Mick, I would rather you just tell me you don't like Christian McCaffrey. That I could take that, because now that's genuine and that's honest. If you don't like the guy, then just tell me you don't like him. But do not try to disparage his ability, because that dude is a beast. He is that good. And if you don't like him, then say you don't like him and say, well, I don't think he should be all he's not all what he's cracked to be.
Is this one of our affiliates? Who was it?
Yeah, because if you don't like him, you don't like him. I get it. But you better read.
Was it a station in the Carolinas?
You know, look, think about
this. I'm just asking if it's one of two states.
No, don't.
That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
I don't think it was them. It wasn't the host of the show, but they were responding to calls, emails, tweets. This has come,
they're trying to
come
amp
from
people
somewhere.
Up.
But I just, man, I hung up with him and just thought, man, I need a vacation.
Got the phones ringing.
Man, you're getting me mad.
A cold take.
You got me all mad, Mick.
Why'd you start the show with this dude? Everyone's in a bad mood now.
Yeah,
why'd you do that?
Bad move.
Yeah, he's a baller, man.
He's a baller.
And statistics are so meaningless. I mean, he had great stats in his rookie year. But on this offense could gain 6,000 yards and set team and even NFL records, that would be ambitious, but team records are easily within reach for this offense, and not have a 1,000-yard back, not have a 1,000-yard receiver, right, but have a whole bunch of guys that stress the defense.
And it would be true to North Turner's offense with this, you know, multiple touches by everybody. Look at this. If Olsen, who has been our most dynamic tight end and one of the best tight ends in the league, more receptions, the whole nine. He's not even featured that much. It's been McCaffrey. It's been other people getting the rock. Now, you could say it's preseason, but he hasn't been targeted. I suspect he will be, but that's just another thing in your arsenal. North Turner distributes the ball. Everybody touches it. And who touches the ball? If you're hot, let you eat, because we looked at that first drive, and McCaffrey was touching the ball. I mean, the first couple of series, he was just pronounced in the running game and passing game because he is warranted. It should be.
I think we're playing a team this week in New England in the preseason game that's like that. Tom Brady always has his passing yards, but in terms of who's getting the ball, typically more in the pass game than the running game for them. It changes all the week. What Mick was saying, they'll finish the year, and they might win 13 games, and they'll not have anyone rush for more than 800 yards or receive more than 800 yards. I think the Panthers are going to be like that because they have so many different options that, again, someone's going to try to play the chess game, take something away one week, and then the next week you'll just feature somebody else.
Good luck.
Here's something else that hit me today at practice. I'm watching guys, and I say to no one in particular, do you realize how good you have to be in order to just be?
Thank you.
I mean, it's incredible.
Thank you.
I was watching Mose Frazier. Be great if he made the team. He's battling in a crowded position, but Mose Frazier can play. I mean, he shows up everywhere.
You know what? This is so true. I have people on the street who say, hey, can I be on a practice squad? I could go ahead and practice. I said, dude, you can't be on a practice squad. The practice squad is for guys, if somebody got hurt, that they would immediately go in and there would be no droppage. You're not that guy. Mose Frazier is that guy. Cox is that guy. There's a number of guys on the practice squad who belong. Desmond Southward, he is that guy. If somebody goes down, he can step right in, but you don't have that talent. And to your point, you got to be really, really good just to be on a practice squad to get a look. You have to be really good because we don't just give out free looks to anybody. This is a multi-billion dollar business with some high-paid athletes. And guess what? They vet every single athlete.
And a lot of them, it's not that they're not good enough. It's just there's not enough opportunities. I mean, they can be just as good, but you may need more offensive linemen on the roster at a certain time and not receivers. You might fit in a different system with a different team better.
It's such an elite fraternity. If you're the 200th best dermatologist, lawyer in the world, you're set for life. 200th best building contractor. But if you're the 200th best running back in the world,
well, guess what?
That gets you a job maybe teaching gym at a junior high school.
You may have a look for maybe 1 year, 1.5 years, and then you're gone.
That's being the 200th best kicker.
Best of the best.
You would need like 170 injuries.
I know. Well, this has been our broadcast roundtable.
Thanks for bringing us down, man.
No, I'm not.
There were some negatives in there.
Y'all may feel worse, but I feel better, which is the most important thing at this time. That was our broadcast roundtable, or at least a reasonable facsimile of. We'll be back with Coach next. This is Panther Talk on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
McCaffrey remains a single setback. D.J. Moore steps into the lineup along with Alex Arma. It'll be a handoff between the tackles. McCaffrey busting through at the 30, 35, 40. Quick race down the right side. Here he goes at the 50, 40, to the Miami 30, 20, at the 10. A swipe of the ankles. They can't get him. Touchdown, Christian McCaffrey.
You know, I think we still got a lot of work to do. I think, you know, we know how good we can be. And, you know, I wouldn't say that was our standard. So I think that's the beauty of it is there's a lot of work to do, and that's something that you know we take to heart. You know, yeah, we won the game, but you know, we really want to play to our level.
This is Panther Talk on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
We could rewind the tape for you and play it back. We won't do that though, but trust us when we tell you Coach Ron Rivera was looking for improvement in his football team from preseason game number one to preseason game number two. As Coach joins us now on Panther Talk, did you see that improvement you were looking for, Coach?
I did, Mick. I was very pleased with a lot of things that went on in the football game. You know, there were a couple opportunities that we missed, though. That was a little disappointing. You know, but again, going from game one to game two, we talked about improving on third down. We did. Defensively, you know, we held them to 17%. I think that's 2 out of 11 or whatever it was. It was outstanding. And then on the offensive side, we're at 50%. We got down the red zone. We were 2 for 2. They were only 1 for 4. Defense bowed his neck up a couple times on some sudden change situations and forced field goals, which was big. And then we had some guys step up and make plays.
Our injury updates brought to you by our friends at Ortho Carolina. When time is of the essence, you trust your family to the people that take care of the Panthers and their families. That's Ortho Carolina. You improved. How'd you come out of the contest from a health standpoint, Ron?
For the most part, we came out pretty good, Mick. A little concern about Searcy. You know, he had the big hit and a little bit of a shoulder stinger. So hopefully he'll be back, you know, soon. And Matt Khalil came out a little concerned about the knee. You know, it's the one that bothered him a little bit during camp. It flared up again. So, you know, we sent him to get it taken a look at. So we'll see what the doctors have to say.
What's the next option at left tackle on your depth chart?
Right now, pretty excited about what Taylor Moten has done. He's practiced very well. He's done a good job at right tackle, and now we get an opportunity to see what he can do at left.
Interesting. So, speaking of the O-line, Coach, what needs to happen when a play like Christian McCaffrey, who disappears into the line, then ends up taking it 71 yards for a touchdown, what needs to happen to make an explosive play like that go?
Well, a couple of good blocks. I mean, I thought, again, what we did at the point of attack was very good. The guard-center combination working up did a great job. Like the way we came off the doubles and were able to seal. And then, again, good blocking by the tight ends and fullbacks.
Looks like defensive linemen would be, by definition, better athletes than O-linemen. Is it hard for the modern-day O-lineman to get his man and himself out of a rushing lane?
Absolutely. I mean, because a lot of these defensive players are really just trying to get vertical, get into the crease and make something happen. And if you're slow off the ball, the guy's got an angle on you or got an edge. So what you've got to do is you've got to take his edge away and, you know, be in a positive positive position.
Pretty violent in there. So all of a sudden, preseason game number three is upon you. How do you plan to use your practice time and maybe some game planning time this week, coaching, getting ready for the Patriots on Friday night?
Well, I'll tell you this much, Mick, and it was outstanding practice today. This morning session we had was probably the longest practice we had the entire training camp. It was pretty warm out there. We had a lot of positive reps, a lot of good things happened. So I was very pleased with that. So the next few days we'll start focusing in on getting ready for New England, though.
You mentioned last week, or maybe after the game, you wanted to see a little bit more of Bonifant, also Elijah Hood at running back. How are those two running at this point?
Well, I tell you what, both those young guys are good football players. And the tough part, like I've always said, is, you know, unfortunately, we're going to have to let a really good football player go. So we'll continue to watch those guys. I mean, those young guys have been impressive, and we'll see what happens.
Does it ever occur to you just how good you have to be, even to be a fringe, hoping to make the 53 player in the National Football League?
Oh, yeah, most certainly, Mick. I mean, I do get that. You know, you have to have some ability to be part of what we're doing. And, you know, for the most part, I've been very pleased with the guys we have. We really do have got some good football players, guys that give themselves a chance, an opportunity to make this team.
Is Mose Frazier one of those guys? Seems like he's just shows up every practice, every game.
Yes, he does. He's one of those guys that just competes. And, you know, it's one of those things that's going to come down, like I said, to some tough decisions. And we, unfortunately, are going to let a good player go.
All right, let's leave you with this. You'll shake hands, maybe, or bump fists, or you'll have some interplay with Bill Belichick, Hoodie, on Friday night. What kind of guy is he on and off the field?
Yeah, he's always been solid with me. He really has, and I really do appreciate that he's, you know, he's been good that way. He's a very smart football coach. He game plans as well as anybody in this league, and if you give him enough time to play you, he's going to figure something out, so you've got to be on your game.
Which you will be, we're sure. Appreciate you, Coach. A good win on Friday night, and good luck this week against New England.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Mick.
Let's talk about the secondary.
Yes.
These young DBs. Eugene, you played safety in the NFL. So how's Dante Jackson coming along? How's Rashawn Golden coming along?
Well, first of all, not too many people know Rashawn Golden, but he seems to be a hitter. He seems to show up doing some really nice things when he drops down and making hits, and he stays up and not dive at someone's feet, mm-hmm. which is very, very good.
That's Golden you're talking about?
That's Golden, yes. He does that. I've been watching that, noticing that about his game. Dante Jackson showed me a lot because he played some off coverage, and they threw some stuff in front of him, and then he's going to have to learn to move on and off. But by and large, and as the game went on, he started breaking up plays and covering extremely well. His man-to-man coverage was on point. His zone coverage was on point. He came up tough and made some really hard some tackles. And his speed is, you just notice his speed. So if you think about saying, James Bradbury is my shutdown corner, I'm going to pick on this rookie, that guy's going to have something to say about it because he has great technique when he uses it. When he relies more on his speed and think that's the coverall, then he can get himself in trouble. This past week, he relied on technique, and technique kind of really saved him, and I thought he did extremely well. Extremely well. And I'm just talking about the corners, not the safeties, but just the corners in general. And let me put Captain Munnerland and Corn Elder in that, because they played extremely well in that nickel, that coveted nickel position of knowing on third down, you got to get out on third down. They were 2 for 12. They're 17%. My goodness, well, that has a lot to do with the third down package, and that means Captain Munnerland, Corn Elder, you held it down. Colin Jones, you held it down in the nickel spot.
Zoka, Munnerland's been one of the stories of camp. He looks lighter and playing that way.
He's, you know, he's motivated. He knows last year didn't go the way he thought it would when he came back here, and his playing time got decreased. And I think he spent this offseason kind of chewing on that and coming back, as you said, in better shape. And he's a physical player.
Yes, I mean, he is.
He made some tackles along the line of scrimmage in addition to what he was doing in the coverage in the secondary. But in the run game, he was in there forming up, making tackles out there. So that combination you just mentioned of him and Corn Elder, that's a great 1-2 combination in that slot there. And I think that's going to be fun. And Mike Adams talked about, they've been talking about the last couple of days, is, you know, sometimes when you change the locker room, you change the culture a little bit. Adams is more in that leadership role back there, where last year as a first-year player here, been in the league forever, but first-year player here, wasn't comfortable being the vocal leader. And now I think he's assuming more of that kind of mm-hmm. mentoring role back there.
And when Searcy went down, immediately Golden came in the game. His impact was felt. He had some nice tackles.
Zoke, you talking to Taylor Moten when we come back?
I am.
Soft-spoken?
Mahler.
Did you like talking to him?
Yeah, good guy. And, man, he can play all positions on the offensive line. I think he has at some point in this preseason, except for center, of course.
Look forward to that interview. The Zoke with Taylor Moten when we return with more Panther Talk on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
This is Panther Talk on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Hand off left side, met in the backfield, driven backwards at the 25-yard line. Shaq Thompson. Osweiler sets up quickly. Looks right. Now is in trouble, being pursued from behind and sacked. It'll be Osweiler from the 26-yard line. Looking to the near side. He's going to run and get hit by Marcus Haynes, and he's going to be sacked for a short loss there.
You really don't game plan for all the stuff that they throw at you, which was great because we handled a lot of it well and a lot of it we didn't, which is going to help us in terms of we're going to go back as coaches, we're going to look at what happened, and we're going to explain it to the players that, hey, these are the things that happened, these were the breakdowns, or these are things that happened, and these are the positive and successful things that we did to counteract it. And it'll be great learning and teaching tools for us. So, you know, I really do appreciate playing against teams like this that are aggressive, that come out and attack you on both sides of the ball and in special teams. So it makes you really look at things and do things the right way.
Back to Mick Mixon, Jim Soakey, and Eugene Robinson with Panther Talk on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
So if there is an area of concern, Coach Rivera even addressing it today, guys, it's offensive line because of injuries, absences. It could be a couple days, could be a couple months in the case of some of these players. But Taylor Moten has taken up a lot of the slack in second year, second-round draft choice out of Western Michigan last year. Talked to him today at practice about how he's doing at right tackle in this his second season with the team.
Yeah, definitely the game slowing down, feel more comfortable with the playbook, and ultimately just, you know, understanding how the game works, and definitely excited for what the year brings for me and the team.
Of course, you'll do whatever's asked of you, but how do you like right tackle? Is that a position that if you could pick, like, where you'd be on the line, that'd be one of the ones you want to do?
You know, I don't know. I wouldn't say, like, I would pick one position over the other. Ultimately, I'm just ready to play wherever the coach needs me to and wherever the team needs me to.
Much of a learning curve for you doing guard and tackle as far as focusing on one position like that?
Yeah, I mean, I've been cross-training, you know, all through the summer, and, you know, I knew coming into the, you know, camp I would have to play just about every position, so I just know the more you can do, the better, and the more comfortable you can feel all over the place, the better. So,
as a group, it's a little difficult, and you're obviously part of that revolving chairs thing, to not have continuity, to not necessarily have the same five and then a backup pair coming in and so forth.
I think we got a tight-knit group on the offensive line, and ultimately whoever comes in, I feel like we got a good chemistry. So, you know, we can always build on it, but that's, you know, we can build on it, you know, all facets of the game.
A lot of the skill position guys talk about what North Turner's offense is like. What is it like for you as lineman as far as blocking for all that's going on with this offense?
I mean, I don't think of it more than just whatever play is called, I'm going to block, whether it's a pass play and I'm protecting Cam or run play and open up holes. So ultimately, it's just another playbook, and, you know, I'm getting in it, so I feel comfortable with it.
It all matters, of course, but as a team, when you can run for 226 yards like you did last week against Miami, that's a physical dominating performance like that. Do you guys take even more pride in something, those kind of numbers, because this team is really focused on the run?
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's always nice when you can run the ball like that. So, you know, just trying to grow and get better from it, and, you know, just showcase our talents week in and week out.
Last thing, you're playing New England, obviously a team with a lot of heritage and recent success in the past decade and a half or so. What's it like in this game where the starters will play the longest against a really quality opponent like New England?
For me, ultimately, I just look at whoever is lining up, you know, in front of me, and I'm just getting ready for that opponent, and I focus on, you know, doing my job and doing what I can to help the team. So, I mean, I'm excited about the challenge, and I know the whole team is.
So the theme was he's basically staying in his lane, focused on his job, doesn't really look at all the other components. He just does what he needs to do. And when coach calls you a mauler, that's a compliment. I mean, and I think he can really make a huge difference with on a team that's got some injuries, in some cases some age on it. Taylor Moten, I mean, that was a great pick last year in the second round. He could be around a long time.
Jordan Gross said that being a good tackle, you have to have the ability to lose slowly. What do you mean is that as you're going back and you engage that defensive end slash linebacker, whoever that player may be, is that there's a certain count that has to go off in your head that you allow the quarterback to throw the ball, and that if he beats you after 4 seconds, then guess what? The ball should be gone. But if he beats you early, then you didn't lose slowly. The other component that he talked about is you got to have good feet and good hands. And when I was just watching just the film on Taylor Moten, did you notice his hands placement? The placement of his hands was inside. He was grabbing the and getting his feet in the in position where he can use his hands and move the defender out of position. He got a nice range about him. I like this young man, and he played extremely well the week before and extremely well this week.
So he's already technically sound.
He's very sound.
He's not just some athletic, raw guy who's figuring it out. And he's actually doing it technique-wise where you're supposed
to. Yes, and now that Matt Khalil, you know, his knee is hurt, and they move him, and they might move Taylor Moten to the left side, I think he's more suited for playing the left tackle than he is the right tackle. But he say, it doesn't matter. You give me any spot, I'll play it.
Good interview, and also a shout-out to the Zoke, doing a great job on the radio side with Eugene, calling these plays. I'm proud of my team. We got depth. We got talent.
Yes, we do.
Great job, fellas. Appreciate it.
Well, you and Ruck and Kevin on the TV
we have a good time on
job,
that
yeah.
side, too. I'm looking forward to nothing against those guys, but looking forward to the start of the regular season, getting the band back together. There's an old saying that
what
says,
a mission from God. I just happened to do it. Blues Brother reference. I'm sorry. Keep going.
There's an old saying that goes, clothes make the man. Well, that's baloney. Skin makes the man. Because when the lights are low and the Earth, Wind, and Fire album, when Devotion's playing,
after the love
when you're
is gone.
Working on your football move, such as maybe holding, your clothes ain't going to do you no good.
Illegal use of hands.
Marty Herney, general manager of the Carolina Panthers, is next. From Bank of America Stadium.
This is Panther Talk.
Back to throw Newton underneath. Got Thomas at the 25-20. Right side 15, 10, 5. Pylon touchdown. 35 from the 50. Heineke back to throw again. Go route going to the right side. Looking for Samuel this time on a fade, and he got it inside the 15. Handoff up the middle. Artis Payne bursts his way into the end zone. Touchdown, Panthers. He'll carry it again. Takes the rock inside the 30. Breaks a tackle at the 25. Steady step at the 20. Breaks it to the right side at the 15 to the 10. Stiff arm, and they can't get him until he's inside the 5 down to the 4. Handoff up the middle. Elijah Hood breaks a tackle to the goal line. Touchdown.
I think we did play good. We could have played better. And knowing that, you know, what this team is capable of doing, we show a lot of flashes.
Panther Talk continues on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Okay, Marty Herney, general manager of the Carolina Panthers. Marty, it wasn't too long ago that you and the Panthers and all the NFL teams would be preparing to cut the roster from 90 down to 75. It's a little different now as you get to wait. How do you like the new system?
I like it. The thing I like most about it, Mick, is that you go into that fourth preseason game, one that you really don't play the starters much, if at all, and you get another game to evaluate all the young guys. And that's the game that they play pretty much, you know, 3-4 quarters. So while cutting from 91 to 53, it makes it a busy weekend, a couple days after the Pittsburgh game, I like the fact that we get another game to evaluate all those guys. There have been instances in the past where, you know, a guy you might not have kept into that preseason game, that final one, plays well and ends up making your team. So I think it's just another game to evaluate guys, which is good.
Did you spend the weekend breaking the tape down of the Miami game? And if so, what did you see?
We did. We watched the tape, and I think there were a lot of good things. I think that overall, offensively, we were good in a lot of areas. Obviously, there are some areas we need to improve on, and there were a couple plays that, you know, either protection or decisions, things like that, we need to get better. But that's what this time of year is for. Defensively, I think the biggest positive is that they had very good field position inside our 20 several times, and we held them to field goals. And I think that there were several young players that step up and keep improving, that have caught our eye here and keep taking advantage of their opportunities. So, you know, it was similar to the first game. There's a lot to work on, but there also was a lot of bright spots for a foundation.
I heard North Turner say the other day, Marty, that he thinks this could be an excellent screen team with all the weapons. Do you see it the same way?
I do. I think that it can, and Norv is, you know, we're going to do a variety of things offensively, and it's, you know, a lot of it we haven't really gotten into yet, but of course we can. And we have the backs. I mean, look, the running back's a pretty deep position for us right now. And Christian McCaffrey, obviously, all you have to do is look at what he's done the last couple games and last year. But, you know, C.J. Anderson, Cameron Artis Payne, Kenyon Barner, Elijah Hood, they've all flashed with their and shown taking advantage of their opportunities. So, and I think our offensive line, we have guys who have good feet and can get out in space, and I think that will help. So that'll just be one of a lot of things that we do offensively, I think, that will give defenses some trouble.
It's an exciting play when it works well. When will you begin to sort out how many receivers, how many backs, how many quarterbacks, et cetera, make the final Panther roster?
We talk about it every day, and we have a kind of a blueprint. But again, injuries at one position might affect numbers at another. So you really can't solidify it until after you get out of that Pittsburgh game and see where you are health-wise. And, you know, you get medical information on guys that, like, where is Chris Manhurts, where is Darrell Williams in his rehab process. So it's going to go down to the 53 to really get to that point of how many numbers you keep at each spot. We have a blueprint of how many you would like to keep at each spot. Now it's just, you know, injuries will determine how we have to adjust, if at all.
Rosters in the league are living, kind of breathing, evolving things. Did you pick up a tight end over the weekend?
We did. We signed Jason Reese, who out of Missouri, a rookie free agent that Tampa signed and cut last week. And we brought him in, and he's going to get some reps. And right now it's just, you know, about trying to get guys reps numbers-wise. And then anytime you bring a new guy in like that, it's an opportunity for him to show what he can do. So we did that, and this is the time of year now. You're just the pro scouts, we're all just looking at as much tape as you can of the other teams. You know, that 53-man cut's going to come pretty quick here, and so you want to have an evaluation on a lot of guys. You're trying to figure out who's going to make it, who's not, who might be available, what spots you might need help.
All right, final question. You could just say it's the preseason, but do you want to show well against the Patriots even more because of the success that team has had?
I think you just want to show well because it's the third preseason game. You're playing your starters. It's about now, and it's about showing basically the progress we have made at training camp. And the Patriots, you can't get a better test, can you? So that's a good thing about playing a team like that, is that in this game where we're going to play our starters in the third quarter, and you're going to game plan some and have the game operation as close to it is in the regular season, it's a great team to play because it's the ultimate test. And I think it'll be a very good evaluation tool of where we're at. But really, you just, this time of year, you want to go out and you want to execute and you want to see what you're doing. And that's what we'll do.
One of the top executives in the National Football League, and he's our guy too, GM Marty Herney. Marty, thanks for your time.
Thank you, Mick. Appreciate it.
It'll be interesting in the stands because the Patriot fans move down here.
Yes, they do.
And
travel.
They give birth to new Patriot fans, and they've been winning for a while. So it's incumbent upon Panther fans not to give their tickets
to
anyone wearing a Bledsoe, a Brady.
Bledsoe, wow.
Yes.
Jersey.
A Grogan.
Oh, Steve Grogan, man, yeah. You went way back.
When wow. He went Bledsoe. I went one more.
Yeah,
yeah, that's
no, no, some of the Teddy Bruschi jersey guy is not your friend.
You know what? One thing Marty Herney mentioned, this is the third preseason game. This is the one preseason game that's more like a regular season game. Every player knows it. The veterans play more. They play longer. They're going to the second half, taking a series after the second half. So this is a game that's most like a regular season game. What makes the New England Patriots very, very good? I'm looking at their numbers. 177 yards passing, rushing, only 70 yards rushing. The difference maker is Tom Brady. 116 quarterback rating. 73% throwing the rock. I mean, two touchdowns, no interceptions. This guy is the difference maker. You stop that guy, you can stop the Patriots. Particularly, you can slow down the Patriots. Let me say that. You can slow down the Patriots, but it has to start with Tom Brady. Tom Brady is such a difference maker that the other quarterbacks, Hoyo and other guys, they had a quarterback rating of, less than like 80. He's just a difference maker. And because of that, that's why I believe that the Patriots are always in the game and they're always good because of that time, Tom Brady.
Defenses and defensive coordinators have been trying to figure that one out for 16 or 17 years.
Tom Brady.
Even the Super Bowl, he put up record-setting numbers in a loss to Philadelphia. They couldn't stop him. But to your point, I mean, that's a great test for this defense to see how you do in a game like this. He played a lot in their second preseason game last week, so I bet he plays a lot in this one too, Brady. So you'll get that test for the defense to see how they do against one of the all-time greats.
And Mick, let me say this quickly. We always played the New England Patriots well, and we beat the New England Patriots. We just got their number. I just believe we just have the number. We played them well all the time.
Interesting. Well, Brady throws the ball. He's incredibly accurate. Everything's already been said about Tom Brady. But for these young DBs, they're bound to be amped up
getting
ready to go against this guy because he can move you with his eyes. Don't fall for the shoulder flick or the helmet opening. It looks like he's looking this way. Zip, the ball comes right over your head. Yeah, to a wide-open receiver. So it'll be fun. Let's take a short break. We'll come back with more Panther Talk from the Langtonian Institute of Broadcasting Studios. This is the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Panther Talk continues on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Mick Mixon, Eugene Robinson, Jim Zocchi. Let's go position by position. Interesting, and we don't coach the team, of course, but let's just kind of kick this around a little bit. Let's start with running back because no matter what, some very good football players are going to be released.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I'm thinking of Reggie Bonifon, Elijah Hood.
Yes.
To say nothing of...
Well, here's the other guy I think that may be on a bubble, too, is Cameron Artis Payne. I think he may be on a bubble. Anderson has shown extremely well. Kenyon Barner had a monster game this past week, and... You know, of course, McCaffrey was a beast. We've all alluded to how good he is. You can't have everybody on the team.
Yep.
You just can't. And so you're fighting for every bit of real estate. You're fighting when you're out there. And here's some of the difference. You look at yards per carry. I really believe, let me see, Cameron Tartar Payne is at 1.6 yards per carry. Let me see, McCaffrey's at 10 point something. And then Barner's at 7 point something.
Player.
Yeah, so.
Can help you on teams.
Yeah, all that factors in, and that's why Coach was saying that this is going to be very, very tough because he's going to have to say goodbye to some really good running backs and really good receivers, or we go to any position. He's going to have to say goodbye to some really good football players.
And they may have to overload on offensive line if they've got guys pending injuries where you may have to carry an extra lineman week one where you're making those decisions. But, you know, to me, C.J. Anderson assumes the Jonathan Stewart role. And then you've got Kenyon Barner makes his team in the Fozzie Whitaker role. And I think Christian McCaffrey is the perfect guy to be the Christian McCaffrey guy in this team.
Makes sense, yeah.
And then Alex Arma is a swing player. He could do fullback, but he can also help H-back, tight end, do a couple different things for
him. Yeah, could you slot him? Would it help the running backs if you move? If you consider Arma a tight end?
Yes, absolutely. Now you can free up a space. And this one's going to be really critical that when Cameron Artis Payne get in this game against New England, he's going to have to show extremely well. I mean, he's going to have a monster, monster game. And don't forget, I would say this to any football player, you're not only auditioning to make your team, you're auditioning to make somebody else's team just in case you get cut. And so that's just the nature of the beast.
We're talking about – go ahead, Zog.
I was going to say, I'm jumping your question, mate, but which of the two backup quarterbacks do you think is ahead of the other right now with Gilbert and Heinicke?
Wow.
That's tough.
I think we'll get a peek into that window by who comes in first on the third game against the New England Patriots. That I think that's going to be the telltale sign. And which guy comes in, that's the guy that I think they're going to have their eye on to give them a little bit more time to go ahead and do things. So we'll wait to see on that.
Yep.
All right, we'll tee up linebackers, maybe the D-line in just a second. We got a lot to do and not much time to do it. And this is Panther Talk from Bank of America Stadium. Stay tuned.
Panthers football is heard exclusively on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Touchdown, Carolina Panthers!
Join us next Friday as the Panthers host the New England Patriots. Kickoff on the network is set for 7:30. Talk continues on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Yes, it does. One of our favorite hours of the week. Thanks for hanging out with us. Mick Mixon, Jim Zocchi, Eugene Robinson. It's a deep, talented linebacker room. What do you guys think of who makes the team and who might be on the bubble?
You know, don't sleep on Mayo, Ben Jacobs, and Jared Norris. Jared Norris had a really good game. He's one of those underdog guys. He's the special teams guru. He shows up on the film. So even with the other guys that you see, and Jermaine
Carter.
Jermaine
Carter, yeah.
Jermaine Carter. there are a number of guys that there's not enough spots because you got three spots with TD, Luke, and Shaq. So who's the other three or possibly four spots?
Well, if you do four, you just name them all. So
I just
Carter
named
would
them
be the
all,
fourth
yeah.
one because they all the four that aren't the starters all can play special teams yeah. well, and the three have shown up because they've been here in the past. But Carter shows a lot of potential, and they Absolutely. Also drafted Andre Smith, who just hasn't been healthy yet.
And he's not been healthy.
Andre
Smith hasn't been healthy.
Could you maybe stash him on a practice squad? You know,
yes, you can do that.
So is that hope? You know, Chris Fry's a good football player. So is Richie Brown.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you got a number of guys, and once again, that's the nature of the beast. That's why it's only 3.2 years in the National Football League. Not too many people ask.
How about the D-line? What kind of depth are the Panthers looking
at? Let me go on the defensive tackle. Well, we already know KK Show and Poe, but also Love has always shown up. He's just a guy. And then Butler is another guy who has a lot of speed, can play that defensive end spot. So you got your four, I think, really set in those four right there. And on the outside with the defensive end, Pep, Mario Addison, I think Wes Horton gets that nod. And then I also believe that Brian
Marquise
Cox.
Haynes.
No, I think Brian Cox gets that nod over Marquise Haynes.
It's tough. You could go, there's six really good names in there.
Deshaun Hall.
Hall.
We got Deshaun Hall in there. He got in that mix too.
Yep.
There's and Effie Abada had a sack, I mean, in the game. So there's a number of guys, but when I look at that whole kind of transition, I mean, that collection of guys, and Brian Cox, he's just a guy who shows up, and he's also a gamer. He's a guy who will get you sacks, too.
This is what I feel good about.
What's that?
I got J.J. Jansen slotted in at snapper.
There you go.
That'll Graham work. Gano, kicker.
Good.
And Michael Pilardi is the punter.
I like that. Yeah.
See that as being
And there's been past years where there's been competition for a lot of those jobs, so it's nice to have that just, you know, where you can just put those guys out there and lock and load.
I know. Enjoyed it, fellas. That's a good show.
There you go.
I agree with you.
I agree with you.
So this has been Panther Talk, an exclusive presentation of the Carolina Panthers and the National Football League, along with Jim Zocchi, Eugene Robinson, the rest of our crew. This is Mick Mixon. We'll see you next week for another edition of Same.
This has been Panther Talk on the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Panther Talk.
Panther Talk.
Panther Talk.
This is the Carolina Panthers Radio Network.
Monday. It's a new episode of All Rise, the legal drama where one judge is shaking up the system.
When I take the bench, I'm taking a vow to fight for justice.
One case at a time.
Your Honor,
we're going to trial.
Simone Missick is Judge Lola Carmichael.
Up on that bench, everything is different.
A new episode of All Rise.
Freedom is at stake. It's important.
Followed by a new episode of Bull, Monday at 9, 8 central on CBS.